Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Hey, everybody, welcome in to episode number 89. Well, we're happy to have you with us tonight. Don Allen, Bobby Ardwin, Tom Brown, Glenn Quibido, we call him Quib, and Bruce Brown. And we are here to talk about what? We are here to talk about fun things, stuff that's going on now, and very importantly, of course, stuff that happened probably before you were born. But we talk about that anyway. Five Guys Stories and Lies. Let me get the phone number now, 706-0111. And if you're out of the area code, and who knows, we may reach out of the area code, unlike some other shows, 337-706-0111. What, Bobby? Or are you looking?
That's okay. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. What is it, Tom? What's got him going?
That's a list of names, apparently, that will be on some of the sports talk shows.
All right. Who's Ben got? Ben Love is precedes our program and, of course, talks about us all the time.
I think that's RP3's show up there.
That is.
That's our show up there? Who's our got on? Who can we publicize
tomorrow?
For
Thursday?
Yes. Tomorrow's Thursday.
Robert Ford.
Okay.
James Yasko. And okay. Les East.
Okay, I've heard one word, one name. How about y'all?
Les East.
Les East.
Good man.
That's two names. What does Les do?
He's
everybody.
He used to be a full-time writer for the Picayune.
Okay.
And he did just about every beat the Picayune had. Saints, Tulane, LSU.
Let me tell you something. That's a talented writer right there.
Yes, he is.
Very talented.
But when the Picayune...
Where's he working for? Who's he working for?
Right now, I think he's one of the NOLA.com...
It's up in the air since being bought by John Georges and the Advocate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they have a couple of sites. They have NOLA.com, and there's a Crescent City something.com, and they're springing up everywhere. They're taking the place of newspapers.
Les is doing... a lot of work for that statewide radio broadcast during football season. And I forget the guy's name who is over the whole thing. Notre Dame has a spot on there just about every week. But Les is a frequent contributor, and I've known him for probably 25 years. And he is, as Glenn said, he's an excellent writer, and he's a
good guy.
He's one of those guys who can write anything.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Bruce?
He's one of those guys who can write anything.
Yes, he can.
Sign him a game, he can take care of it, a feature. You know.
And like many of the people up there on the board who don't know me, I sure in the heck don't know them.
So. I think Robert's going to probably, and I'm guessing here, if it's the same Robert Ford, is going to talk about the RCAF and the fact they're looking for a new director. And I think that's what Robert's going to be about.
This is actually the voice of the Houston Astros.
Okay, forget the RCAF. I thought R might have gone local.
Well, he went to Houston.
He's going to the Houston Astros game, so he's going to get an interview with him, Robert Ford, voice of the Houston Astros. And you'll hear that right here on 103.7 The Game after y'all wrap up.
Be still my beating heart. Okay.
We are abreast of the times.
One would think I would know who the voices are of various teams, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Rob Ford, and then you've got Steve Sparks being the color analyst, but they kind of swap it. I think during the fourth or fifth inning, they swap it around.
Yeah.
It's weird.
No, it's not. That used to be the way it was done.
Okay.
You know, I'm not absolutely positive, but I think even Vin Scully had someone that would give him a break for a couple of innings.
Yeah.
Actually,
four through six was the fill-in, and then he'd come back seven.
What a lot of teams have done is Scully may start off for the first three innings on radio and then go over to television for the next three innings and then come back to radio, and they would swap back and forth. And I'm pretty sure other major league teams have done that as well. And now a lot of them, of course, have a radio voice and they have a television voice.
Well, does that keep the broadcaster fresh? You've been on the air doing games. Does that keep you fresh when somebody subs for you for a couple innings?
You know, I did it. You know, I did it. And fresh, no. I missed missing those three innings, but because it got you out of the tenor of the
rhythm,
game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gives you a chance to go to the restroom, hit the buffet.
That's exactly.
Come back for the seventh inning.
Most of the places we went, Tom, there was no buffet.
Yeah. But you guys used to do that in UL games.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Used to alternate the innings. They don't do that anymore.
Every three. Yeah, every three. No, they don't.
It's a shame.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I'm not too sure that there's often someone qualified to do the play-by-play at the other microphone.
Man,
it's a skill for sure.
Yeah, it's a lost art, too. Did you see, I think it was Auburn, wasn't it, that their play-by-play guy got into an automobile wreck and he and his wife were both killed?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was the Auburn play-by-play guy.
Yeah, it was. That's tragic.
Pretty much the same night that the assistant coach, what was the school? Bobby?
Wisconsin.
Yeah. Got in a wreck and lost his wife.
Yeah.
Tragic.
And I think his daughter may have been seriously injured, too.
Well, I know he was seriously injured, but he survived.
Yeah, can we talk about something? You know,
well, while we're on the on the baseball thing.
We're going to hold off on that Victoria's Secret just for a moment or two.
It's
an hilarious.
I'm amazing that a newspaper has a headline that like that in sports. But, I mean, you want to hold off?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
If anybody read The Advocate today.
Smells like team
spirit. Talking about the LSU baseball team. Did you see that, CD?
Who wrote that?
How Victoria's Secret perfume became the scent of LSU baseball because the catcher puts it in his mask and stuff.
Wait.
Had you heard of that?
It's been up there for like a couple of days.
Yeah, that was part of the, like, during the SEC tournament, they mic'd up the umpires. They managed to play that clip where you had the umpire kind of ask him, he's like, you're smelling really good. It's like, and he explained why he does it, because the gear's going to get all dirty, so why?
Dude, I've never heard of a catcher doing that.
Yeah, I've never heard of that either, but hey. Like,
you have now?
You know, the old timers.
Try that one in the major league, see what happens.
No, the old timers would just spray Lysol. Christ, you know, now these guys are spraying Victoria's Secret.
Consider the source.
Man, how times have changed, huh? Goodness gracious.
Who wrote that?
Wilson Alexander for The Advocate. I'm going to have to ask Sheldon, what was that all about?
Yeah, please enter that one next year, pal.
Yeah, I tell you what, it'll get a judge's attention, man. The Tigers have sprayed themselves with the mist, creating a fragrant blend of deep amber, sugar kisses, chasing sunsets, and sweat.
Okay, let's take a poll. How long will it be before a Tiger fragrance is out there for their loyal supporters to buy and shell out $25 to $30 for this?
So
a couple weeks.
So,
I don't think the Victoria's Secret models will be wearing it.
No, the smell
of sweat.
I thought that was part of baseball, the smell of sweat. When did it become Victoria's Secret?
You want to smell sweat? Go to a hockey game and get near one of those guys, especially the goalies.
Oh, geez.
That may be ice that they're skating on, but they sweat.
Think about an NBA. Think about an NBA. Yeah. God, those guys.
They run 8K every night.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, yeah, how much they run and sweat. Goodness gracious.
So any sport we could talk about.
So if that's true, Glenn, why does everybody pay these exorbitant prices to sit courtside?
You know why?
Maybe they can spray them as...
Because they can pay the exorbitant prices.
To be seen, brother. It's like the old days of the ice skaters. You went there to be seen. You didn't go to watch hockey.
No.
That wasn't hockey. That was guys swinging sticks.
That was great. It was a see and be seen thing, though. Yeah. That's what the ice skaters were.
Unbelievable.
In Lafayette.
That was the happening thing. That's where you went.
I'll tell you what, for 6, 8, 10 years, however long it was, man, they put some people in that Cajun Dome.
Again, that was the place to be.
I mean,
the restaurants were empty.
I mean, for 10 years, I was the Advocate's beat writer for the ice skaters, and I was figuring it out the other day when I was watching National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs, and I probably wrote over 300 hockey games in those 10 years. I mean, it's because they averaged 30 home games a year plus the playoffs.
And there were several years where it was 10,000 at home per game.
And
Yeah.
And like I was telling Don when I first came in, I'm probably the only person in two parishes watching the NHL playoffs, but they're...
I will watch pieces of them. I don't think I've gone start to finish because I'm a huge Rangers fan, and they sucked again this year.
Yeah, they did.
But I've watched at least a piece of every game out there. So I know where you're coming from here. The skill level of those people is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, if you looked at the ice skaters and said to yourself...
And you thought they were good.
Yeah, and said, this is what hockey is about? No. No, that's why they were at the level they were.
Well, so Dan always said that. You know, if you can't skate backwards in hockey, you can't. I mean, you're not a real hockey player, and none of those guys could do that. But if you remember the old saying, if you put Cajuns in a room and they have beer and fights, you're gonna fill the room.
Yeah,
and that's what happened. Beer and fights—that was a combination.
It was the first time that Lafayette natives found out that ice could be used for more than putting in a cocktail.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And as I was explaining to my wife last week, I said, have you noticed how in the NHL playoffs there aren't any fights?
And she said, no, I haven't noticed that.
And, you know, because I used to come home from the games, and sometimes I would tell her about different people who decided to drop the gloves and fight and everything. And each ECHL team always had a goon. You know,
it stands for East Coast Hockey League, by the way. For the
Cloche.
Yeah. Aaron Bo, you know yeah. All of those guys. But in the NHL playoffs, I mean, these guys are real pros, and they never drop
the
glove.
Don't say never. I'll bet you right now the gloves are dropped in this final between St. Louis and Boston.
Yeah.
These are two teams that viciously go after one another, and something's going to happen. What Bobby's saying is they don't drop the gloves because they cannot afford the penalty.
Sure.
And the advantage that's going to give the opposing team. But if you got two guys dropping the gloves, that's 5 minutes for each guy. Mm-hmm. End of story. They both go off. But it's going to happen in this final. It's going to happen.
But, how do you get hurt? I mean, they grab each other. They try to pull their jerseys over their shoulder pads and stuff. And
that's what the movies say, but these guys know better than that.
No, these guys. There was a clip the other day I was watching. I can't remember who it was, but the guy was basically skating around the ring, taking out anyone that got in his way. He was, like, clotheslining them and sticking them, and he finally ended up getting a penalty. But, I mean, it's like guys were getting laid out, you know, and I've got to go to St. Louis for a couple of days here in the near future, and I'm hoping – that the Blues are in town, that I can maybe try and get a ticket.
When are you going, Tom?
I don't want to let anybody know that because I don't want them to break into my house.
When are you going, Tom?
Yeah, we might like to know.
We'll keep them away from the trailer park. Don't worry about
tomorrow.
You're going tomorrow?
There you go again. And I'm not even going to say the word. But there you go. Why'd you say that about that man?
What man?
Why did you say we're going
to
take care
okay,
of
Okay, back to hockey, okay? I worked the clock.
Yeah,
I worked the clock for a lot of years, the scoreboard and the clock.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
And where we sat between the two penalty boxes, but it was open.
Yeah.
And there was enough room. When I sat at the table, there was one guy that stood right behind me who was like the supervisor, mm-hmm. and then the door was right there. And he had always told us, if a fight breaks out in here, y'all back out of the – just back out of the penalty box, okay?
Because they can get to one another.
Yeah. And sure enough, we had a couple of guys one time that were yelling and screaming at each other for a couple minutes, and then finally one of them just came and jumped over both of us into the other side, and we just kind of backed right out of the box, you know?
Welcome to the ice skaters.
Yeah. What did the referees do, Tom?
It was fun, man. It really was fun.
Yeah, but part of that's theater, just like we were talking about last week. Yeah, part of that's theater. That's like baseball. Who said that last week?
The ECHL hated that from the ice skaters. Hated that.
Hated the fights or
yes.
the theatrics?
Yeah. No, it hated their entire culture. What was the name of their head coach?
Doug Shedden.
it was the entire culture that Shedden promoted on that team.
It packed the cage.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Because, I would say for 7 out of the 10 years, the ice skaters led the league in
attendance.
Penalty minutes and attendance.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's, but again, a lot of that's theatrical. It's just like when Billy Martin went from team to team. Everywhere he went, because of his antics, hey, watch this, I'm going to get kicked out of a game. They packed the stadiums, you know? So everywhere he went, same thing with this guy. Same thing.
Shedden?
Yeah. It's like, you know, do that. Fans love that.
But, yes, the fans love that. They didn't understand it, and they didn't care.
But Glenn...
Because obviously they didn't know hockey.
When the ice skaters' attendance began to decline, they had a real professional hockey coach, Dave Farish.
Uh-huh.
And he came straight from the National Hockey League. And he had them playing real hockey, but there weren't as many fights.
Altercations.
Yeah.
And because, that's when, like Glenn said, because this area was still, you know, not cognizant of the finer points of hockey,
yeah,
the attendance dropped.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could understand a fight. But they didn't understand
the game.
Yeah, the game at all. I know, we need to take a break.
There was a former newscaster that used to come to all the games, and he'd come in his ice skaters jersey.
Oh, yeah.
He'd walk in, he'd start banging on the window.
Chuck Huebner. Yeah, Chuck Huebner.
Chuck Huebner, yeah. I didn't know.
He had a cap on.
Oh, yeah.
He had some some type of cap. What did that cap look like?
I don't know, but he'd walk in, and he'd be to the left of the box, and he had front row seats. And then when he'd walked in, he'd start banging on the windows. For all the players.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, we got us a hockey team.
All right, Clint, our wizard behind the curtain. Take a break. We'll be back. Five Guys, Stories and Lies continues after.
Now, back to Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
You can't hide your lying eyes.
706-0111, that's your number here at the studios. And Glenn said we need to get to baseball, and we will. We're going to get to Tony Robichaud. Before we go away, the fights at the Dome were some of the most entertaining things you've ever seen. And invariably, the ice skaters started it. biggest rivalries were against Pensacola and Mississippi. And do you remember that one fight, Bobby? And this one named National News with a picture of the rink. No players on it. But
nothing but
12 sets of gloves and sticks.
Sticks.
Yeah. Even the goalies went at it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And while it was entertainment to a certain extent, I can tell you from being in the penalty box, when they got there, noses were bleeding, mouths were bleeding. They were hitting each other.
Hockey players are a different breed, though.
Yeah.
They are a different breed from any other athlete.
But so colorful and so entertaining to even interview, that's what people don't realize. I mean, it was some of the best, most spontaneous interviews because they would let you into the locker room. You didn't have
a
player brought out to talk to.
Yeah, you just went into the locker
room. Yeah, you just went in the locker room. Yeah. And
Dave,
they were,
well, you know, the ice was kind of slushy tonight. You know, just
Dave Berryman was the GM ice skaters, became a good friend. Gave me a lot of access that I wouldn't have had. And we played golf together, and he had since moved to Florida several years ago and unfortunately passed away a few years ago.
Who was his brother?
Tim.
Dave?
Tim Berryman.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both managed the ice skaters, and, you know, along with the owners, when the owners would let them alone, you know, they're the ones that built that thing.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Glenn, let's talk Tony Robichaud baseball.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me wake up.
We've taken our last... Oh, give me a break.
You know.
We've taken our last slap shot.
Thank God. Thank God. We finished with the ice?
Yes.
No, what are we going to talk about? I'm just amazed at the... You know, you talk about the message boards every once in a while and just...
Yeah.
Some people, I tell you what.
Yeah, and those are the message boards. Some people.
Yeah, questioning whether Tony Robichaud will be back next year. You know what? You got to be a complete buffoon to think that he wouldn't be. I mean, give me a break. Is eighth winningest coach in America in baseball, the winningest coach? You know, if you took a poll and said, who's the winningest college baseball coach in Louisiana? Well, you know Skip. The purple and gold would say Skip. No, it's not. It's Tony Robichaud.
He's got 800.
Yeah, he's got 886 wins. And that might have been from last year's total, not this year's. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the winningest coach in Louisiana college baseball history. And people are wondering, is he going to be back next year? Give me a break.
I think he's
man.
Over 1,100, isn't he?
I tell you what, find you
career?
Another. Find you
career.
Another. Find you, he's counting McNeese, his yeah. win total is 1,178.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, find you another sport to follow and get the hell out of UL baseball if you think like that. You know, UL doesn't need you.
His name is Quibb, and his phone number is 337.
I think what you need to understand, though, is that, and I probably go to the message boards a lot more than you do, they have become overrun by millennials. And they are millennials with no sense of history.
Exactly.
With right. no sense of what has happened.
Well, they need to get out of their parents' basements and bedrooms and stuff.
Well, and the people that are making these comments, is, you know, we talked about this coming over here this evening. It's a knee-jerk reaction from, you know, common fans that really don't go beyond the one loss record.
Yeah.
And when you have a losing record, then they want to get rid of the coach.
No,
you
Don,
know, that
Don,
happens everywhere. You
Don,
know, but
Don said it. No sense of history. No sense of anything other than today. That's man. It burns me up. Tony's a personal friend, and it burns me up to hear somebody.
I'm not too sure he's not a friend of all of us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just friend. No. I think he is. And but you know, it's aggravating to see that kind of stuff, and to even have somebody bring that up in a press conference or whatever. You know, I think Maggart was asked,
and then the advocate throws it on Jeez. A headline. You know that he was unhappy with. You know, the direction, the all sports thing. I can understand that.
Yeah.
You know, they finish seventh more often than not, or eighth.
Yeah.
And then the advertiser comes out with, you know, Robichaud is probably good to go next year. Thanks a lot. You know, and then there was the usual vote of confidence story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That thing from Maggart was as the athletic program overall.
Yeah.
He thinks
yeah.
that they should basically dominate the Sun Belt. You know, they need to dominate the Sun Belt before they start making excuses about, you know, going to other conferences or doing this or doing that. And, yeah, that's something we've been talking about for a long time. Why can't we be consistently winners in the Sun Belt?
And they need to dominate the Sun Belt before they must start making knee-jerk decisions
exactly.
about the parking,
yeah.
about what you're paying for in terms of a fan, about ticket prices, about all of that. When first?
Well, they're bringing the student section tailgating back into Cajun Field next year. Did you see that?
Yes.
They're going to be on the parking lot behind the student section. So, you know, I wonder who's going to lose those parking spots.
I don't think that's a problem.
They didn't need
no,
them,
it was
Tom.
They were empty.
Well, to Maggart's credit, he did have Tony's back in the press conference. But you're right. You know, a vote of confidence is worthless to hear an athlete.
Well,
like
and there's a lot of things that went into this season, not to make excuses.
Injuries, the youth, the
rebuilding, you know, a lot of things went into it.
He was throwing walk-ons and stuff. I mean, you know.
I know people are tired of hearing about the injuries. It was not an excuse.
It was a reason.
Yeah. It was a large reason as to why
seven or eight kids
went
lost
through
the
what
season.
They went through.
It's reality. Who in their right mind dreamt that Gunner was going to be injured the whole season? Everybody expected Gunner to come back and have an All-American year.
I'm sure Gunner expected him himself.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where he just wasn't completely healed.
Need to take another break. It's Five Guys, Stories and Lies on this Wednesday evening. 706-0111. If you'd like to get involved, we're here. We promise we won't hang up on you. And we'll be back with the show after this. Don, Bobby, Quibb, Tom, and Bruce. It's Five Guys, Stories and Lives. We're with you until 7:10 tonight, which will be the first pitch for the Astros, which is about roughly 37 minutes from now. No pregame tonight. I can't believe we usurped the pregame, but apparently we did. But we've already had our Astro talk. Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about Carlos Correa yet, have we? Carlos Correa, who went on the IL, it's the injured list, and he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks because, apparently, he fractured his rib while getting a massage.
Deep tissue, baby. Deep tissue.
No, my first thought, what position was he using to get that massage? But he fractured a rib. Now, we've heard of dumb things before as things that have caused, you know, injuries, and there were a couple last year that were really strange. But this goes on, I'm sure, every year. And if you'd go back through the annals of baseball history, you wouldn't know all of it because a lot of that stuff was not reported.
No.
You know? When was the last time you would have heard a massage being reported as the reason for an injury?
Well, to add clarity to the story, it just wasn't a massage. It was a home massage.
All right, so came to his house.
What are you getting? Like traffic.
What are you getting at?
I don't know. Have you?
Well, obviously you are if you brought it up.
Well, I mean, I just
bring it up.
Well, I thought the term was interesting and just saying he was, you know,
Glenn knows what you're trying to get at. He's just trying to put you on the
spot. Making a disparaging.
No, we all know what he's getting at.
I live a sheltered life. I don't know what the
You're making a disparaging remark about the mobile massage business.
What do you have for us, Clint?
Oh, we got Chad on the line.
All right, Chad.
Oh, there's Chad. All right.
Hey, Chad.
Chad, save us.
Hey, how's it going, man? Hey, listen, guys, I want to go back to Coach Robert's show real fast. I am not the one that thinks he should be maybe let go or something, but I don't believe that he gets a pass, say, for the next 2 or 3 years. He has pretty much ruled this conference in the past, and he got these up-and-coming programs, baseball, that weren't even in existence, that are coming and beating the dog out of them. I mean, there's a bunch of coaches, Bobby Bowden, there's a ton of coaches, Les Miles, that were great coaches, but sometimes it's just it's time to move on. I'm not saying guys need to move on by no means. But how long do you give him a pass for, especially in the Sun Belt? It's not the SEC, it's not the Big 12. It's just a kind of fair question I think I'm asking.
I don't think you give him a pass for anything, and I don't think Tony would sit here and say he deserves a pass. First, you know, he doesn't.
First losing season in 12 years, Chad.
No, I agree. I don't think, say if we have a couple more seasons like that, injuries are part of the game. I think LSU has 7-some pitchers injured, and they're sitting at a 13 seed right now. And great, listen, guys, I think Robichaux is a great, great coach. Don't take that. But I don't think no coach in the right mind should get a pass for what he or she did. The past, man. But anyway, thank you all, guys.
All right, Chad. Thanks. Thank you for
thank
the call.
You,
but, you know.
Well, I think this is where he has to refocus, and I think he's going to do that. He's got to go out and recruit better.
Yeah. And let's talk for a moment about the reasons perhaps behind the decline for this year.
Injuries, period. End of discussion. Just injuries. I mean, just a ton of them. And the thing is, a lot of those guys are going to be back. He has some really good red shirts sitting back there. I mean, he's going to come back. You know, and you can't compare UL to LSU. I mean, come on, let's be serious. Maneri, if you put Robichaux in Maneri's uniform, it'll be a whole different deal. Maneri gets first-round draft choices wanting to go to LSU because of LSU's tradition, because of LSU's finances, facilities, everything else. Tony's got to struggle for what he gets at a mid-major like UL. So you can't compare, you know, yeah, LSU had a lot of injuries. Yeah, but LSU got a lot of supposed top 10 draft picks sitting there on the bench. So it's not the same thing. It's apples and oranges.
When LSU shows up, they know two things are going to happen. A, they're going to get a regional, period. B, they're probably going to host the regional,
yep.
You know, because they're in the Southeastern Conference. SEC are the biggest three letters out there.
Well, yeah, because you're playing each other. All of you have high RPIs, or whatever they call it today. All of you, you're playing each other, beating each other, so even when you lose to each other, you're getting higher points than if he goes and plays somebody in the Sun Belt.
I could be dead wrong about it, but I think Robichaux has put a lot of his energy into getting that stadium where it is now.
He did the last couple of years.
Now, yeah. Last couple of years, I think the recruiting has suffered because he hasn't taken as big a part in it as he has in the past. That's just my opinion, just a thought.
Yeah, but he had some pretty good pitches and stuff that he lost last year, Nick Lee and those guys. I mean, he had some good talent now. And again, you go back to this year, with all the injuries and all of the piecemeal lineups he had to make. I mean, you know, yeah.
Well, you lose Gunner.
It's disappointing.
Gunner was not going to make the season.
You lose Gunner for the year, though. You expected him to come back at some point, and then you put him in the bullpen thinking he could be a stopper, and he couldn't do that because he was still hurt. The Horton guy that came over from TCU, something had to be wrong with him.
I agree with you. Something happened.
You know, because you don't go to TCU and then transfer away and then can't get an out.
And then have a good year at TCU.
Yeah.
And then look strong here in his first few games.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, you couldn't get anybody out after that.
Yeah. So then you go to, you know, you throw in a lot of freshmen and sophomores. And like I told Glenn, you know, you have a guy that goes out and has a great game. And then 4 nights later, he comes out and he gets shafted. He gets tanked, man. Is that a reflection of the competition that they played the second game, or is it a reflection of he's a young guy still working on getting him where he needs to be? I don't know.
It's a reflection of the player.
Yeah.
Now, whether he is, as you said, a young guy and it's not where he's at, whatever. It's a reflection of the player.
Yeah.
If you're going to have to blame somebody, start putting it where it belongs.
Oh, I agree.
It belongs between those white stripes.
Well, if you think back to, correct me if I'm wrong, but at the beginning of the season, the hitting was atrocious. I mean, they struggle hitting. And then at the end of the year, it was you hit, but you had nobody to close the game.
No. When you bring in a pitcher that faces four batters and gives up three home runs.
wasn't Cantrell hitting like 108 the first 15 or 20 games?
Yeah, and then he
season?
Got it up to well over 300, and then he slumped. And then
he was knocking everything out of the park.
But, you know? Yeah, he's going to Cape Cod League, man. I mean, they must think highly of him.
Well, sure they do.
He's a good player. I'm just simply saying, you know, everybody slumps. Everybody has rough times, but – yeah, it has to go back ultimately to the player, because what you see in the player is why you bring him in. He has to perform, and if he doesn't perform, the coach takes the heat.
I think they'll be fine next year. Injuries aside, I think they'll be fine next year. You won't hear. But you have to remember, and I told this to Tom coming over here, if y'all remember right, about 4 weeks ago, those same message boards were wanting Maneri's head. You don't remember that?
I don't pay attention to LSU.
They were wanting his head a couple weeks ago.
Really?
And look at him now, you know. And now it's like, woo.
Now, whoop-de-doo.
We hosted a regional.
And we got Stony Brook.
And look, I had to laugh. I heard on the radio today, and the guy said, yeah, they just want to make it out the regionals, you know, because, you know, after that, it's just extra. It's just extra. I'm thinking to myself.
What?
Yeah.
That's what?
That's what I said.
You seen the commercial? What? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah,
make it out of the regional.
Yeah, yeah, they just want to win the regional. First, they wanted just to get in the regional, you know, because they were struggling there for a while. And what they lost like how many in a row? Five, seven in a row. Clint, what was it when
couldn't
they had that low?
Couldn't beat a Louisiana school. I know
seven
that.
Was seven.
Yeah, they had a really horrid record against Louisiana schools
this
year.
That's when they were talking about Maneri the way they're talking about Robichaud today. Yeah. You know, and it's like, man, you know, you're just not a baseball fan. You have no clue what you're talking about.
No, and then a lot of the pitching got healthy toward the end, and it made a difference.
Yeah.
It made a difference.
They fixed some things, and, you know, hey, you never know. They've made runs before when everybody counted them out, so I don't count them out, man. But this is, I think it was rated, correct me if I'm wrong, CD, and this the rated the toughest regional in the playoffs?
Who rated that?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Stevie Wonder?
No, I've heard that from a couple.
You've got a really good Arizona State team on the other side of that bracket. One of the best home run hitting teams in the entire country. 92 home runs, averaging 1.7 a game. Two guys in the 20s. A lot of them are batting around 300. So I think Arizona State is the team that everybody's most concerned about. Southern Miss can be a team that can trip you up if they made a decent run. In the Conference USA tournament, they beat Ole Miss a while back, and I think that's a team that you need to keep an eye on. Stony Brook, not as much in my opinion, but I feel like the other two teams.
But Stony Brook's done it before.
They've done it before, but I feel like that team, that Stony Brook team, was a lot like what we saw with that 2014 Cajuns team or even the 2000 Cajuns team that made it to Omaha, where they had a lot of really good talent. They had, like I think, like five first-round picks in that Stony Brook team in 2012.
Well, they're not intimidated.
If this is the best regional, Scott Rabelais made that choice.
Jeez. There you go. Oh, okay, I said I'd be nice tonight. Okay, yes.
What? No, don't change your colors. Leopards don't do that. And you're a leopard.
Why? You,
that's
why
a
you
good thing.
That?
That's a good thing. You're a meat eater. You look for prey.
Well, I don't have to look forward with you sitting right here. I can promise you that. And you lucky it's not the Jurassic period, or you would be, T-Rex would be coming to visit you. So anyway, what's next? What next? Bobby, want to talk about what, the renovations or the parking situation?
Well,
Tom had mentioned
they kind
of
go. The thing I think that Tom alluded to is pretty accurate, is that
the parking?
For the parking, I think Maggard, the athletic director.
And if people are wondering out there, why we just don't have Dr. Maggard on, we are not allowed to.
We're not allowed
just to make that straight. We're not allowed to have Tony Robichaux. We're not allowed to have Mark Napier. Mark Napier, listen to
Billy
me.
Napier.
Billy Napier. I knew a guy named Mark. Played golf with him.
Bob Marlin.
Bob Marlin.
And Bob Marlin. We can't have those people, and we can't have Dr. Maggard. That's the arrangement
but
that is made with the other guys.
It seems
how's that working out, guys?
It seems as though, to his credit, that he's listening to his audience now. The students, as students,
probably not us.
As we all know, we're supremely aggravated about the tailgating and their parking and their accommodations last year at the Cajun Field, and he's listened to them now. They have their own space. They have a band, supposedly. They can tailgate.
They're going to have activities
they're gonna
and,
have a band
and
on the
things
other
going
side.
On.
On the east side, they're going to have
a
band.
Yeah, for
side.
Them.
I thought they were going to have a DJ. Okay.
Well,
I thought DJ Digital was supposed to do that, and they would have speakers piping rap music everywhere.
They're going to have the
whole... Well, it doesn't matter whether they have a band on either side, because when they turn the speakers on the stage, you can't hear anything anyway.
They're going to have the whole east side, Bobby?
Southeast side.
Okay.
And
right. I was afraid they were going to move y'all parking, press parking, to Rouse's.
We're parking in Karen Crow now.
Rouse's would be closer than where the press is parking.
We're parking in Karen Crow with a golf cart shuttle.
Dr. Maggard, you're listening? Why are you putting the people that can get the message out about your team and making them walk a half mile to get to a press box that's on the other side of where they're having to park?
Yeah, because
why are you doing that? Does anybody think over there sometimes?
They don't like us, don't they?
I think everybody's 22 years old.
It doesn't matter whether they like us or not. You know, we and the other people in the media could do wonderful things for them.
Yep.
You get a lot more with honey than you do with the back of a hand.
And if you remember, we did a lot of nice things for them for years and years.
Yeah, look at our reward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, parking Rouse's.
We're actually closer to our parking right here than we are to the stadium.
Well,
Dr. Maggard, you're welcome to come on this program anytime if you can get out of that contract.
Nor if you can get out of your office. We'll take either one.
Yeah.
706. Hey, Doc, we can do it by phone. We got no problem with that. 706-0111. I realize that's against your contractual obligations.
Oh, that's what we told anyway.
Yeah, and how's that working out, by the way? We're going to take a break here. Five Guys, Stories and Lies. And we'll be back in a moment.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect. Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
706-0111, that's your number here at the studios. We've got about 20 minutes left of the program. We'll be with you until 7:10 tonight. We are taking over the Astros pregame. We heartily apologize to anybody that wanted to listen to that. But you'll be able to hear first pitch and the entire game tonight. Who is the Boston Red Sox?
Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were 2-1 against the Red Sox, I believe, right?
Okay.
Yeah, 2-1 last weekend. Actually, they're 4-2 overall in that series. Not playing them the rest of the year, so there's that.
All right, Astros Cubs tonight, 7:10, first pitch. You'll hear it right here
Red Sox
on 103.7 The Game.
Maligned player
this
week. Bill Buckner passed away.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I saw that.
69 years old from dementia. You know, one play
is all people remembered his whole career.
I know.
He had a heck of a career. You
know? He never recovered from that play either.
No, he had over 102 runs batted in the year that he was batting over.
Shouldn't have been on the field. That was a managerial decision. That was sentimental.
He had over 102 runs batted in the year that they won the pennant, 85, 86, I think, something like that. Yeah.
86. Yeah.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been in the game.
Huh?
He shouldn't have been in the game.
No, no. But he was a good player. You know, he had a higher batting average than – I was reading. He had a higher batting average career than Joe DiMaggio and Ted Williams.
What was the year that the ball threw his legs?
86.
86. Yeah, I don't think he made amends with the Red Sox still. I think I read 2005, something like that. He refused to go to their reunion and stuff like that. And finally in 2005,
Why?
I believe.
Why? Who was treating whom badly at that point?
Well, the fans. And I tell you what, who he blamed the most? He didn't blame the fans the most. He blamed sports writers the most, the Boston sports writers.
Really?
That's who he blamed the most from the story I read. And, yeah, I don't blame him. He was a great player. You know, one play doesn't define a career, and I think that's what most of the players said.
You spent most of your life writing. Bobby, you're still doing it. Bruce,
still doing
you
it.
Did it. You know, I did it to some degree for the Times. Can you think of one player who would be angry with you because of what you
oh,
wrote?
Yeah.
We don't have time to go into that. All right, who would be the most who would be the angriest?
Oh.
The most upset.
Oh, I know the name. I'm just reluctant to say it on the air.
You,
but
you think he'll come after you?
No, I just because we've kind of I think mended fences and
college or pro,
no,
or high school.
It was actually high school.
High school,
and it was he didn't really like me for
that's
some
stuff why like. We call him the Jaguar. He finds prey and he goes for it.
Oh well, that one was easy prey. Wasn't easy prey. That's the wrong thing to say. No, it was a lot of stuff to write about. And who hated me the most? Oh,
yeah,
I know.
We could do that.
Who disliked me the most?
Now, hate's such an overused, wrong word.
Well,
who disliked you the most?
I remember.
Not in this room.
I remember the exact words, sitting in the office, and this person opening their drawer, taking an envelope, a thick envelope, throwing it across the desk, and telling me, this is why I don't like you. And that was Marty Fletcher.
Really?
Yeah. He had. And what happened was there were some articles. They were recruiting a player, and another school had sent some of my negative articles to that kid.
Oh.
And
all they had to do was go to your
Marty
resume.
And Marty got it. Marty got a hold of it, and he threw the envelope across the desk. And, you know, so, yeah.
What about you, Bobby?
Probably Ricky Bussell and I liked Ricky, but like he told me when he was leaving, he said, I like you, but I don't like what you write. And I didn't know whether that was a compliment or whether he was telling the truth. But, I mean, he and I got along, but when I was with the Advocate and I was covering UL, I guess they were called UL. I don't know what they were called back then. But anyway, I would have a Monday column, and sometimes they were pretty critical because he had some pretty horrible teams. Not so much his fault, but his predecessor's fault. And, you know, he would get.
We're talking about Toothpick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What's Toothpick? Who, what?
Well, go on. Nobody's using names. Yeah. I'm not going to.
I just did. But, you know, well, let me say one thing, though, about that. You know, after that, you know, we did have, I mean, Marty and I did have a working relationship after that. And, you know, looking back, and I gained some respect for him, even though we did have some difficult times. And looking back, you got to give him credit. He wound up being the most successful UL basketball coach that we've had. So, you know, even though people disagreed with him, like at times I did and Bruce did, and you know, he got the job done, and you know, and I respect that. Yeah. And if I saw him today, I probably, time heals all wounds. I would probably apologize to him for
Glenn,
some of that.
The thing that I realize now about Marty, when he first got there, not everybody, but many people were upset with his antics on the sideline because he looked kind of frantic.
It was different. It was culture shock for a lot of people.
But, I mean, he was very animated, talking to his players, talking to the refs, and people actually criticized him for that. But you look at the sidelines now in NCAA basketball, that's Marty Fletcher 35 years ago.
Well, when, something I wrote for the Times got me fired, doing the games, and it was about Marty. But he and, is that music in the background, Clint? So gentle. Turn that up. But, you know, he and I became good friends after I came back, and I still consider him a friend to this day.
I respect him, and especially I respect his body of work. And like I said, we had some disagreements. Those stories, in that deal, he had every right, looking back, to be upset with me. And, but I don't hold that against him.
Well, I had a lot of fun with Marty. I just want to say that with your articles that you guys wrote, me and a couple other guys had a whole notebook. We used to call it What Marty Meant. We would take what y'all wrote, what y'all wrote from the press conferences, what he said, and then we'd write what Marty really meant.
Bruce, I know nobody ever got mad at you. Nobody ever got mad at me. But if they did, we'll talk about it after the break. This is Five Guys Stories and Lives.
Yeah, boy, getting mad at it.
And we'll be back.